Whenever you wish to start.
What is up and welcome back. It's the ANA Sports Show. I am your host, Anthony Cortez, and I'm joined alongside my two good friends and co-hosts, Mr. Alexander Ashland.
What's going on, fellas?
And Mr. Kevin Rowe.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you showing up, Kev.
Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. For those of you that don't know us, we're three friends that get together pretty much every week. We try to every week. Of course, life gets in the way sometimes and, you know, scheduling, whatever. But anyways, we try to get together. We talk good, bad, and the ugly in sports, EA Sports. We are by no means experts, but this is fun regardless of who listens. So anyone new to the party, welcome. All six of you. We love you. We appreciate everyone staying on the ride with us. So, yeah. Alex likes to start off our shows with useless information. I'm going to go ahead and let him do that.
I really do. So the decision day has passed. We now have all of our 2021 playoff MLS teams. The top seven in each conference qualified for the playoffs, and the first seat receives a bye. So in the East, the Revolution, with their new and terrible logo, finished atop the table, clearing the second-place team by 19 points. And for those of you who don't know, that is dominance. That is the equivalent of 6 wins and 1 draw. So the last team would have had to play, 43 games just to even tie versus the regular 34 teams or 34 games, with Philadelphia Union coming in second. Nashville SC after that, NYCFC, Atlanta United, Orlando City, and then lastly, the other New York team, the Red Bulls, are the rest of the teams making it in the East. In the West, Colorado is best. The Rapids finished this year in first place, 1 point difference between them and the Sounders. Sporting Kansas City finished in third, Minnesota United fourth, then the Vancouver Whitecaps and Real Salt Lake. It's kind of funny. So in the West, literally all the teams that didn't make the playoffs were either all of the California teams or all of the Texas teams. I thought that was kind of funny. MLS pages everywhere have just been shitting on Texas and California soccer. So let's get a little saucy and continue this soccer thread. Our hometown SAFC, San Antonio FC, had made it to the UCL Championship League playoffs. They played the San Diego Loyal last Friday, winning 2-0. They will now play the Rio Grande Valley Toros this Saturday, the 13th, with whom they've had struggles against this season, going 1-3-1 against the South Texas side. But they have been on fire lately, and we wish them the best. We officially have power rankings for the NBA. Through the first couple of weeks, we have our early power rankings. The 76ers sit in first without, I guess, Ben Simmons, who said he wasn't mentally ready, but has denied all help from mental health professionals. And they now just lost Joel Embiid to COVID. The Warriors are in second place with an 8-1 record. Miami comes in third, the Nets fourth, Jazz 5, Mavs 6, which is kind of surprising to me. The Suns came in at 7th with a 5-3 record. The Bucks are in 8th, dropping from the 5th spot last time. Bulls are in 9th, and then the Denver appropriately named Nuggets in 10th. And those are your useless highlights.
Appreciate it, man. We're watching Monday Night Football as we speak, but we can go through our pick-ems. Who did we have? Remind me, Kev.
We had the Rams versus the Titans. We had the Bengals versus the Browns.
And the Chiefs versus the Packers.
Yep.
As a group, so we were terrible.
It was a bad week. It was a very bad week. Alex, man. Group.
We were 1-3. Overall, bro, in the NFL, man, was just a whole mess of upsets, man.
Yeah, I felt like this week, more than any, was like the most topsy-turvy week in the NFL that I've seen, at least in a while.
Rams, I think the Titans surprised everybody. I got to watch a little bit of that game, but the Titans surprised everybody in LA, by the way, in Inglewood.
No, I thought they had a chance.
Without Derrick Henry, no, hell no.
Exactly.
They didn't have Derrick Henry?
No. He's injured. He's gone for like the year.
What?
Broken foot.
Yeah.
broken
foot? He had surgery like 3-4 days ago, I think it was.
He broke his foot last week and then played another 27 snaps after breaking his foot, they found out.
Jesus Christ, monster. Yet again, Charlie Morton, Derrick Henry.
Charlie Morton.
Charlie Morton. Basically the same dude.
Wow. Well, that was news. That's news to me. Wow. Yeah, Titans surprised everybody, went on the road and beat a very good Rams team. And granted, Rams didn't have Von Miller, who they just had traded for. Weird way to say that. Weird way to say that sentence. But anyways,
everybody else.
Yeah, Von will be with the Rams next week, though, wherever they are.
Loved his. I went to bed 4-4 and woke up 7-1.
Yeah. Yeah. Chiefs and Packers, Chiefs pulled out the win. Interesting storyline there. So all the buzz about Aaron Rodgers, lying, I guess would be, I don't want to call it the right word, but he just,
it is.
Well, yeah, well, lying.
He said he was immunized. He didn't say he was vaccinated.
Yeah. So that's why I don't want to say lying is the right word, because he, you know, he said, yeah, I'm okay, or I'm immunized, but he's not, he didn't get the vaccine shot. So apparently he went on the Pat McAfee show, said, I mean, I didn't listen to the interview. I'm just going based off of what I've heard, but he said that he's taken other routes to get immunized and get treatment, although it's not, you know, taking shots. And apparently this is the reason I heard he doesn't want to get the vaccine is because he's allergic to an ingredient in the vaccine. What ingredient that is, don't know. Is he lying about that, or is he telling the truth? Who knows? Only he knows. But
there's also like,
yeah,
one, I don't vaccine, know if I would believe so. Him.
Yeah.
But anyways, in any route, the NFL and their stance is, hey man, you got to get vaccinated. He doesn't want to get vaccinated. Now he's got to sit out. So he had to sit out last week, this past week, whatever. Jordan Love makes his first start. They make his mom sit like literally top of the stadium, which, I mean, come on, guys. Anyways, I didn't see what type of performance Jordan Love had. Was he decent? How did he look to y'all?
He was bad. He was bad. Practicing for a year and a half, and he's bad.
It's one start, his first start. I'm not going to label the guy as bad on his first game, really.
He didn't look good. It didn't look like he had control of the offense. They don't trust him enough to change plays at the line. He couldn't read the defense, and that was very, like, very, very evident. Troy Aikman was even like, what the fuck are you doing? Even Troy Aikman, who was sitting in the box, was like, oh, hey, there's going to be nobody in the middle. And then sure enough, there was nobody in the middle. And then he threw into double coverage on that exact play. He was not good. And then if you want to say it was against a tough defense, well, then you're lying, because they are literally the sixth worst defense in the league. And if you want to do the whole comparison to Rodgers' first game, this game, you're still going against the Saints, who are top 15. So there's a large disparity. We have been shitting on the Chiefs defense all season long. He was bad. He did not look good. Even if he didn't have the stats on the field, he still didn't look good. He was not good.
You give this kid a full off season of practice and first team reps, I think he'll be fine. But you give him 1 week to prepare in an offense that's designed to work for Aaron Rodgers, not for Jordan Love, because they're two different types of quarterbacks. I just don't see how it was going to work out. Period. Okay,
question. Do you think Colt McCoy, who went 22 for 26, 249 yards and a touchdown, has a offense designed for him, or is it designed for Kyler Murray?
Every dog has his day, though.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure he does. And it wasn't Jordan Love's, and it's not going to be Jordan Love's anytime in his career. He was bad. Green Bay needs to admit he was bad.
Every quarterback can have a bad day and not be a terrible quarterback. Brady's had bad days. Peyton Manning's had bad days. Joe Montana's had bad days. Maybe he just had a bad day.
I don't know.
Having a bad day.
Dak Prescott, who's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league this year, had a bad day on Sunday.
Yeah, but at least he looked like he knew what he was doing while he was
playing. At times he didn't. At times he made some really bad throws.
Okay. I mean, you can give him a pass, but a year and a half of practice and he did not look like he plays in NFL. Like, it just did not look good. Again, couldn't read the defense. No control of the offense. It was not good. And again, I point out Colt McCoy, who fucking murdered it with a team that is absolutely not designed around him. And then beat the 49ers. What is that? By almost 20 points?
I'm with Kev. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he's, you know, that system is built around Aaron Rodgers, regardless of if he gives a shit or not. So, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is arguably the most dangerous man in the NFL with the football. So I'm going to give the kid the benefit of the doubt. If he gets in, sometimes you move around, and I'm not saying he will, but sometimes you move around in a different system in the league and whatever. And, you know, if he does have his day in Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers does decide to call it or when they decide to move on from Aaron Rodgers, we'll see how he does. But I'm with Kev. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. And our last pick'em game was the Bengals against the Browns. We all picked the Bengals in this one, and Browns said, yeah, we got this. Didn't see what's happening. Well, yeah, yeah, by a lot, apparently. In Cincinnati, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't see what type of day that Baker Mayfield had, but first drive.
21, 218 yards and 2 touchdowns.
He looked like a first-round pick.
He did. More importantly, Nick Chubb looked like a monster. 14 carries, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns, and averaged almost 10 yards a carry.
I want to know what OBJ does in Cleveland to make them so bad when he's on the field.
Nothing now, because his ass is gone.
I know, but I mean, just it's really telling when the numbers just show that Cleveland is just so much worse when he's on the field, and it shouldn't be the case. His talent level had him as an easy number one wide receiver for any team. Sure. Coming from the Giants, but
I just, like, expectations.
Browns are just terrible with him.
Maybe it's a character thing. Maybe it's a then jive in the locker room, you know?
I guess. That's the only thing I can possibly think of.
So maybe it's like expectations. Like, there's this weird expectation that he needs to be the number one receiver, that you have to get the ball to him, that you have to game plan with him in there, as opposed to it coming like more naturally. You know what I mean? Like, they're forcing it too much.
It's just weird, man.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
You think it's going to pick him up?
I hope nobody.
I've heard Raiders.
Picking up DeSean Jackson. Maybe
I've heard Raiders. I've heard Saints.
Yeah.
Cowboys don't need him.
Hell no. I don't want him.
And he's going to want to go to a contender.
If you don't want him, what makes you think anybody else in the league is going to want him? Which, granted, people are going to want him. There's GMs out there making calls. Don't get us wrong, or don't get it twisted. But, you know, who's desperate enough right now?
I think probably the Saints would be the most desperate team. They have a really depleted wide receiving core, especially with Michael Thomas officially not coming back for the rest of this year, having a setback. Which, I'm just saying, it seems super convenient that he has a setback the day after their starting quarterback goes out.
I could see a below, like, under-the-radar team being the Chiefs.
The Chiefs?
Think about it. They lost their number two wide receiver this offseason, Sammy Watkins. And it's kind of shown that it's Tyreek Hill or bust. Outside of Travis Kelce, but on the wide receiver front, it's been Tyreek Hill or bust. And honestly, Hill's been a bust. He's been dropping so many passes, it's ridiculous.
Speaking of the Chiefs, and I know they won this weekend, but do you think they're trying to do too much this year? Specifically Pat Mahomes?
Yes. I think Mahomes is trying too hard. He's trying to force it, and it's causing issues.
It's just not there, right?
See, I feel like he's not doing anything he hasn't been doing the last couple of years. I think the big difference is that he has exactly zero defense to help him. You know what I mean? Like, the defense is doing absolutely nothing to help.
But I think that's the problem. I think he's trying to force some of these. Some of these throws and passes and runs that he's done this year, yeah, he's done in the past before. But he's done them in smarter situations. He's thrown away some really bad interceptions this year that I think in previous years he would have thrown away. But I think he's to the point that he feels like, I have to do this myself because our defense can't stop. So we have to score on every possession or we're going to lose this game.
Unfortunately, that is kind of the case, though.
That's kind of the case right now.
It's not a whole lot you can do.
Unless you're going against Jordan Love.
Yeah, right. Because he's that damn bad. He was bad, man. You guys can give him the benefit of the doubt. He was still bad.
Not saying he wasn't bad in this game. I'm just saying he may not be that bad of a quarterback overall when you look at it as a whole. Give him some more starts. We'll see what happens.
Well, as long as you got Rodgers in front of him and as long as Rodgers is good to go, he's not going to get his day for a while. So
let me ask this.
We'll see next year.
Fuck no, Aaron Rodgers just guaranteed himself a lot of money because they just saw what Jordan Love was capable of. They're going to pay him money. They're going to keep him there. He has 7 years. Yeah, no, he
I don't know if it's about the money in Green Bay now.
I don't either.
The money in Green Bay because they've been paying him good money. They'll pay him more if they need to. But I don't think he'll stay for the money. He'll go somewhere else for cheaper if he has to get what he wants.
Dude. You're Aaron Rodgers and you have one Super Bowl. I feel like, I mean, winning is hard, but you should have at least one more Super Bowl by now. I know last year you ran into Tom Brady. I mean, I don't know what excuses were used before, but Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. He should, you know, like, you don't.
You're going to say it. Say it like Stephen A, man. He's a bad man.
Sorry, I'm not Stephen A. I'm not trying to be Stephen A either. Dude gets paid millions to whatever. Yeah. Nothing against Stephen A. Nothing against Stephen A. Hey, he's built his whatever. We're not talking about Stephen A. Anyways. Want to talk about our lock-in upsets? I went with the – who did I go with? I went with the Cowboys who shit and egg this week. So thanks, Kev.
Yeah.
More specifically, thanks Dak and thanks to that team. Because, man, they just look bad, dude. You want to talk about a team that looked bad. You want to talk about anybody that looked bad. They just look bad.
Nothing was going their way. Really highlighted who the most important player on that team is. And it's not Dak Prescott. It's Tyron Smith. They're all pro left tackle because he didn't play in this game because of an ankle injury. So they moved Terrence Steele from right tackle to left tackle. Had a Lyle Collins start at right tackle. And Steele, he's done well in right tackle, but he could not hold up on the left side. And it showed in this game. Dak was continuously under pressure during this game. He got sacked several times, and a lot of it coming from his blind side. A lot of that pressure coming from that left side.
Which is wild considering the team they just played against gave up arguably their best defensive asset. Like, not days before. Mm-hmm. But y'all want to talk about bad. How about the Bills versus the Jaguars?
Who I had believe that shit once I saw that score.
That's insane. Wow. You know something even funnier about that? This is the first win for the Jaguars on U.S. soil in 420 days. And they won.
What?
Yeah. And then the score was 6-9. 69-420. Let's go. Because, of course, the Jaguars win in comedic fashion. But, yeah, it was unbelievable. And another cool thing about that, Josh Allen picked off Josh Allen. Like, it was insane. This whole thing was insane. This whole game was insane.
They lost a lot of people some money this weekend.
It was funny. I saw a TikTok that basically said that Josh Allen fucked himself.
Yeah, that That was atrocious. If you want to talk about a bad team, because at least the Cowboys scored in garbage time. Bills couldn't even do that.
Touchdowns in garbage time.
Huh?
Scored touchdowns in garbage time at least.
But at least you scored at all. They couldn't even do that. They literally scored 6 points in the first half and then were shut out in the second half by the fucking Jaguars? Question mark? That's atrocious.
That hey, man, any given Sunday, everybody has their bad days.
I suppose so, but Lord have mercy.
You know?
That's terrible.
Everybody has.
You know so who I was pleasantly surprised with, though? I don't know if you guys got to watch this game or not, but did you guys get to see the Colts and the Jets play?
A little bit of it.
The Jets in the second half actually looked like a coherent football team. And it was kind of interesting to see when they were playing multiple other quarterbacks because their second guy got hurt. So then they're playing Josh Johnson. Like, they moved the ball down the field. They had good drives. They sustained drives. They didn't turn the ball over. They were running the ball well. They were spreading the ball out. Multiple, like, play calls and different kinds. It actually was interesting to see the Jets look like a real team. But they definitely, like, they definitely won the second half of that football game. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, they did. They outscored the Colts by 3 in the second half of that game. The problem is they gave up, you know, 28 points in the first half.
Yeah.
But, like, they won the second half of that football game because all the starters were still in there. So that was kind of cool to see.
Elijah Moore had a good game for the Jets, yeah.
He did, yeah. Absolutely.
2 touchdowns, 84 yards, and 7 receptions. But I tell you what, Jonathan Taylor's a beast.
Yes.
19 for 172 and 2 touchdowns.
Yes, he is. Yeah, absolutely.
I was mistaken. I did not have the Cowboys. Kevin had the Cowboys as his lock. I had the Ravens as my lock, which they won.
No, you had then. The Cowboys, dude.
Did I have?
Yeah, you had the Cowboys. No.
No.
Somebody else had the Cowboys.
You had the Cowboys, though. This week, I'm looking at this week. Bengals, Packers, and Rams were our 3 games. Then Kev, you had the Cowboys. Yeah.
I did have the Cowboys as my lock. That's right. And I had the Falcons that I won on as my answer. Okay.
Hey, go so, Falcons. Right. Look at us go.
Dirty Birds. Dirty
look
Birds,
at,
man.
Look at us at 500.
It's the only fucking one that I actually got right. And that was probably the one I was least sure about.
Who do we think we are?
I mean,
having not a bad season. What is this? For us, it's not a bad season, which is terrible. But whatever. I'll take it.
I'm 4 games ahead on our pick'ems. I think we should start doing this for money. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, then we're going to start doing fantasy for money. And you can just fork it over now.
That works.
I don't know when, but I've seen your record.
Yeah, I know. But it's easy to pick games. It's not. It's a whole different deal to go in for 10 minutes out of the day on Wednesdays and. Or Thursdays before the game started, be like,
"There's your mistake." Tuesday morning, gotta get to the people early. You can't wait.
Tuesday morning, okay. Uh-huh. You get right after. Right
I think
after
you and me, Alex, are the only ones that really jump on that waiver on
I
Tuesday. Think,
yeah, I am literally first thing. I open my. I actually get in trouble for that shit. Why do you always check your phone before you say good morning to me, babe? I have waivers to look at. Okay, I'm looking. I can't wait. Kevin's
you know,
out
it
here.
Doesn't matter when you pick it on Tuesday, as long as you do it on Tuesday.
Oh, I know. Because it doesn't go
one
through
of these days, Wednesday
morning. The waiver order is based on the record.
Yeah.
One of these days, you are going to have to show me how to do the waiver wire.
But the thing is if everybody
simple.
Else
on
isn't
Tuesday,
doing
you look at your at the players that are available, and you switch them, and you try to claim them and drop people on your roster.
Yeah.
And then okay. Wednesday morning, you'll find out if you
Why
got the players
you
that you want.
Kevin? Shut up. We just said we were doing this for money. We just said we were doing this for money.
Yeah. It's not like he's going to have a shot to win this year.
Exactly. Exactly.
And he's also not in your division. Don't give him an
edge. That's right. Neither one of you are in my division. I'll give him all the pointers I want, damn it.
I thought the Texans would have a decent shot to win this week after finding out that Tyrod Taylor was coming back. But, yeah, that didn't happen. Dolphins beat up on the Texans 17-9 in Miami.
See, it was a terrible game by then. They shut them out in the second half, at least. The
did Texans, they really?
That is shutting out the Dolphins. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they gave up all 17 points in the first half.
Couldn't score though after that. What else? I'm seeing the Giants upset the Raiders. That's kind of surprising, but
the Giants are really they have the Raiders are in just fucking turmoil. They lost their coach, had a player sit out, they had one player now in jail. Like, there's a lot going on in that locker room.
Yeah, man. Speaking of that, I think we got to touch on that a little bit. I mean, I don't know all the details. I mean, Kev or Alex, you can probably fill us in on more, but that broke. When did that break? That broke. I want to say it broke like Tuesday morning, right? It came out.
Tuesday morning was when the accident happened, I think.
Tuesday morning was when the accident happened. Henry Ruggs, the third. Okay, sure. Thank you. Involved in a serious accident where he killed a woman.
Her dog
killed a woman and her dog. Him and his girlfriend or wife or I don't know his
whoever his he had the
girl
whoever he had in the car with him. They survived, but they were going 156 is what I think I read.
156, 157, somewhere around there, I think.
I think they said they hit the car at about 130, but was going 150 on the camera that they had that caught him.
Was it a camera? I figured they just figured the math with skid marks.
Well, probably both, but there's a camera that you can see him, and it's so fast. I mean, he's in the frame, and then he's not in the frame anymore. But I heard somebody saying, like, if they traveled from here to here, and this is the distances, this is the angle, and they did it in this amount of time, this is how fast they were going, and it was, like, 156, which is insane.
Damn.
Also had a blood alcohol level twice the legal limit. It was actually at, what, 0.161? The limit is 0.08.
That's terrible, man.
That is insane. That screams, like, shit around me isn't okay, and I don't know how to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, another thing that makes this look bad and had actually nothing to do with the accident, but he also had a loaded gun in the car as well. So that's another. I'm guessing he didn't have a license for it because that's the reason they brought it up. So it's a felony for that too.
I think they said two felonies, and
no, he's up against six felonies.
Oh, it's up to six.
Six felonies for. I think the speed for driving under the influence, for having that loaded weapon in the car, for the death. That's at least four right there. I don't know what the other two were, but.
Damn, dude. That is terrible.
That's rough on all.
Have they said how long he's going to be in for?
No, they haven't done the trial yet or anything like that, but he's going to be in holding for until the trial, and then you got to wait more time for the actual sentencing and how long that's going to take. We're probably not going to find out the full ramifications of what happened that night for about a year.
Yeah, I'm guessing somewhere in the ballpark of like 30 years or so.
At least, God, I would think.
Because I think you'd probably take some pleas, say you're guilty, they drop one or two. Because the legal system is weird. Lawyers are weird.
Yeah, so. I don't know what's going to happen. I know the DUI resulting in a death is anywhere from 2 to 20 years. Mm-hmm. And that's just one of the counts. So,
and there's no probation. There's no anything in the state of Nevada. If you kill somebody,
you're SOL.
So, like, there's not even like a, well, we might be able to help you out a little bit. They're like, nah, you fucked up.
Yeah.
So he's never going to play professional football again.
No.
It does not look like it.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if that is the case. And it's super unfortunate. He was a hell of a talent.
That is, I mean, think about that. One decision changes the course of your life, man.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Our condolences go out to that family of the woman and the dog that were tragically killed, because that is just terrible. A family just lost their daughter, their wife. Don't know if she was married or not. Don't know.
I saw that the daughter was in the car too. That she survived, was in intensive care, but the mother and the dog were the ones that were killed. I think I read that somewhere. Right? Am I wrong?
I don't know.
I didn't read that far into it. Very well, maybe. I just know the car caught fire and the dog and the lady died.
That's terrible, man. Condolences out to that family. Wow. Any other boys? Any other storylines out there? Before we wrap up and talk some baseball?
Do we have to?
Yeah, I think those were the big ones.
Unfortunately,
Patriots have looked good. Patriots have looked real good recently, winning four of their last five, I think it was.
They have looked good.
With only the loss against the Cowboys in overtime being their lone loss in the last five games.
And Bill Belichick does not care how he dresses at all.
Uh-uh. And don't look now. They're only a half game out of first place in that division.
Yes, they
but
are.
But, I mean, when you live in New England, I mean, you got to dress warmly. And, hey, the guy has six rings or whatever it is. I think he can dress however he wants. Man, the Rams were my biggest surprise. And I was not even paying attention to the fact that Derrick Henry wasn't in that game. So, wow. For the Titans to do what they did in Los Angeles and Inglewood, I should specify.
They signed Adrian Peterson to a contract. He's like 108. He actually scored, though. He had a couple carries, 30, 40 something.
Scored, yeah. Yeah. Chargers beat the Eagles 27-24. Only other games, I touched on it, but right, the Ravens beat the Vikings in overtime 34-31. And then for anybody that cares, the Lions, Hawks, Bucks, and Washington had buys this week.
I just find it interesting that you look at the divisions, and we all thought the NFC West was going to be the toughest division in the league. No, it's the AFC West. Not so much that they're all really, really good, but they're all only separated by half a game. The Chargers and the Raiders are both 5-3, and the Chiefs and the Broncos are both 5-4.
Well, I mean, kind of check out the AFC North too. They're kind of in the same boat. The Browns and Bengals both have winning records, and they're sitting in third and fourth right now. So it'd be interesting to see how that division shakes up.
True. I think I saw that 19 teams in the league are on pace to win at least 8 games this season. Which tells you how close everything really is and how that you have a lot of good teams, but then you have a very few really bad teams.
Detroit's the only one to not win a game yet, 0-8.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, they probably won't win a game.
If they play the Texans, they might get a win.
Any given Sunday.
It's true, dude. Uh-huh. I say this now, and they could surprise me next week. All right, boys, let's wrap this up. And let's do favorite things. I'll start. My favorite thing last week, after UTSA was left out of the CFP rankings, the first rankings that came out. Gary Barta, I believe is what his name is part of the committee. And actually, I don't know if this was a typo or if he just misspoke or if he generally doesn't know who UTSA is, but he mispronounced, I guess, or misspelled our acronym and put USTA. And so our new coach that we, by the way, just gave a huge extension to, Alex didn't highlight, but I'll highlight it here. The UTSA pretty much locked up our head coach for 10 years worth $28 million. So he's sticking around a while, guys. So much for those Texas Tech rumors. Anyways, the day after the rankings.
Shit, I'll take a $10 million raise.
Seriously, dude. The day after the rankings came out, Jeff had some fun with it and put out a meme. Some of his guys, and it wasn't even like his top guys. It wasn't even the quarterback or the running back. I thought this was what made it even funnier. Was like he put his kicker on there, and like a bunch of other, like, I'm not gonna call them B stringers because everybody plays on the team, but the guys that you wouldn't know, like, he photoshopped all those guys on like an actual tennis team's like picture in the head and whatever. And this was before the UTEP game, of course. So he said, "You're unranked USA football team has UTEP this weekend. The triangle will travel." And it, of course, went viral. And yeah, so that's my head coach right there. Okay, have you got one?
I don't know. It's been a rough week for me, but we'll say Dusty Baker was re-signed to coach for next year in 2022. I love that man as the coach for the Astros, the manager for the Astros. They picked up Gurriel's option and Ryan Presley's option kicked in, and they sent qualifying offers to Correa and Verlander, which Correa will decline, but I think there's a chance Verlander may accept it. We'll see. Love to see Verlander back in an Astros uniform.
I have a here's one for you on that very subject in part two, so.
Look forward to it.
Alex, you got anything?
Falcons beat the Saints. Go Dirty Birds, fuck the Aints. Your most famous street smells like piss. Like, stop.
Okay. All right. Oh, man. With that, we're going to get out of here. Continue to be good to yourself and be good to each other out there. Don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive. Later.
Peace.
See ya.